Most high school students in Oklahoma can't vote, yet the presidential election will have a big impact on them. So Oklahoma Engaged, with the help of youth civic engagement nonprofit Generation Citizen, decided to talk directly to them. State Impact's Robbie Korth guides us through their conversation.
So I think,
There were plenty of small disruptions.
Need that moisture, though. Sorry, that's my mom. Talking to a farmer about how we need rain, you know.
But that's just what life is like for high school students in 2020. Kately Mills of Oklahoma Engaged, Elizabeth Sidler of Generation Citizen, and I got together with about a dozen of them from around the state to talk about what presidential candidates have to say about the issues. Because of problems with Zoom, the audio quality varies throughout this piece. But anyways, here's Sidler.
The goal for our conversation today is to gain insight into what matters to young people like you all, as you're preparing to become adults in a decade where involvement in political issues and the political process, civic engagement, even beyond voting, is going to shape our future in really important ways. And so we want to know what you think.
The first option, and it is about COVID-19. You might have heard about this. Been in the news quite a bit, and it's probably impacting your school days. I'm going to launch the poll. So how should the United States respond to COVID-19? You can sort of read through the options yourselves, pick what you agree with, and once we're all done voting, we'll have a conversation.
Develop a vaccine and return to normal covered pretty much everything. Of course, we're going to elevate the voices of scientists to get to that vaccine. That would allow us to return to normal.
I agree with that we need to return back to normal, but we also, since we're in a global pandemic, we can't just go back to normal. That won't happen for a couple of years. So we need to let our scientists do their job.
I feel like I really would love a vaccine, but I want to make sure that it's safe and it's healthy for everyone that can take it. And that it would be nice, that would be effective for everyone in the future.
I feel like we need to realize that the virus is real and just listen to the scientists on issues. Like, if the scientists say that masks will keep us safe, then I think we should wear masks.
Mask wearing has become common in all of the students' schools. But how do they feel about their education overall? And what do they want to see from policymakers moving forward?
I really don't think the education system is doing a good job, to be quite honest with you. I think that tests like the ACT and stuff like that are just, they're not really tests about how knowledgeable you are. It's about how good you are at taking tests.
I feel like teachers aren't compensated fairly, but I also feel like they're focusing more on the teachers rather than the students. Besides teachers not getting paid fairly, what about the students? Where's the funding at? Why aren't we focusing on us getting treated fairly?
Yeah, I feel like there's infrastructure problems just with kind of the way students are treated. Just what's the most efficient way of educating instead of what's the best way?
I am an online public school student, so I've always been a hybrid student since third grade, and I've liked having that choice of opportunity to be at home or be at school, and I believe everyone should have the option of doing what they do, but I also believe there should be better funds for our public school teachers. They're not getting paid enough for as much as they do, in my opinion.
So I think it's very important to teach everybody how amazing our country is, because you don't know how great you got it until you lose it.
Black Lives Matter activism has changed the way many of these students think about policing and criminal justice. And they think there needs to be changes to the public safety infrastructure.
Especially in Oklahoma, we have a lot of private prisons in which we make money off of those. And so I feel like we're just sending people to prison just to make money. You know what I mean? Are we just going to keep sending people to prison, or are we going to come up with ways that these people, people who don't necessarily have to go to prison or can get the help they need, rehabilitation?
Our police definitely we need more training. They need more mental health. Our country is not where it should be right now because of just crime and everything that's going on. And I think maybe if police were more accepted and they didn't kill innocent people, that we should have more, but they should have more checkups on how they're doing personally.
If police have time just to sit around and watch for people speeding, if that's all their job is, I mean, I know we don't need more of them here. There are some places that I do believe we need more of them. There's even some places, say in Oklahoma City, there are parts of Oklahoma City I do not feel safe in, just because of the environment. So I personally think that there are places that we do need more police, and the police need more support.
And I believe there shouldn't be less policemen, in my opinion, but I believe there should be better reform on training our policemen and making sure they know what to do on the crime scene. And also for the criminal side, learning how to go on the right path for the future.
If people like don't feel safe around police, and like if they get pulled over, they fear for their life if they make a wrong move. I feel like obviously there needs to be something done about that.
Like if people feel unsafe, then there's something going on that needs to be fixed. You know what I mean? Like with whatever force they're using or whatever they're being trained is not working.
The students all agree something else that needs to be fixed is the nation's immigration system. But how to handle that isn't clear cut.
No, I'm 100% for immigration, but it just needs to be done legally, and because we want the good people. We want the people with the, you know, who are going to benefit our country. We don't want the gang members and the bad people in our country. So I think we just need to focus on making sure that people are coming in legally and that we're getting the good people.
Honestly, the separation of families and how they're treating people down at the border is frankly inhumane, to say the least, sometimes. I'm not going to get behind people who enter illegally, but I do think if they do enter illegally, like that doesn't mean that they should have their family torn from them, you know? That doesn't mean they have the right to stay, but it also doesn't mean like this is the punishment for it.
The United States was basically, like, if you think about it and you really dive deep into history, it's founded on immigration. It's founded on like people coming from other places and, you know, building on this land. And I feel like over the years we've gotten kind of selfish with like not allowing people from other countries to come over because we don't want them to take our resources. We don't want them to take what we have.
Yeah, I feel like increasing immigration, it helps the economy because immigrants come in and then they get jobs and then they contribute to society. And I feel like we need to help people from other countries who are like leaving war or something and they don't have a place to stay. Like we're in a fortunate position, our country is, where we can help those people. So like if you're in a position to help, why wouldn't you?
Many of these students will enter the workforce soon. And because of COVID-19, there are uncertainties about what work will look like in the immediate future and beyond. How do they feel about policies to fix a flailing economy?
And I feel like, you know, to do that, we could raise on taxes on the upper class to help those jobs and programs in the lower class. Because if you're in a huge billionaire, like 1 million doesn't really mean that much to you. But for someone with nothing, 1 million is like the world.
If we're going to do anything with taxes, we need to raise them on the people who are like making the most money, you know, like that top percentage of people making like billions of dollars a year. Like,
I know like Jeff Bezos doesn't actually make like all that money. It's in stocks and stuff. But I think that there are some people that genuinely can't help it and they're just stuck. And so I think that they need like a boost, you know?
I was just going to talk about Jeff Bezos as well. That's what I was going to say, Audrey, is as you see that he's made billions, and as you see, he's just made more while people are in poverty and they're in unemployment. And you see this rising, and people can't afford to make ends meet. Meanwhile, he's just sitting there as his stocks are rising and he's just making billions, you know, as he goes, not just working, but just making it from his investments that he made. And I believe that, sure, we shouldn't give a bunch of free stuff for things that people don't need, but I believe we should for people that can't afford healthcare and their jobs don't cover it, or they can't afford to give meals to their kids.
I'm not big on any tax raising. I'm glad that it's more than 400,000, because I agree those people are living well. But at the same time, it's their money. I mean, they work hard for their money as everyone else does. Maybe they don't do anything now, but at one time they did. Or even if it's just money coming in from family, I mean, they're entitled to that money. They worked hard for it. I don't feel just because they are more successful than other people, the government should be able to take a lot more from them.
We need taxes, obviously. But if you've worked hard enough to make how much money you are, like, you make now, that's an achievement. And I don't believe in just handing out people free stuff because they don't want to work for it.
Finally, we asked the students how they felt about gun rights. What should the government do to regulate or not regulate firearms?
We're from Oklahoma, and hunting is very big here, but I do believe that we should, I mean, we literally have the right to bear arms, but we also, I do think there should be certain restrictions, and permits and stuff are completely necessary, because, I mean, it's pretty often that a rando gets hold of a gun. So, I mean, you have to have precautions. You have to draw the line somewhere.
Gun control, I feel what's going to happen is you're just taking it out of the people who will use it to protect themselves and their families, and giving it to the bad people, and making them the only people who have access to it, because they're not afraid to obtain it by illegal ways.
So I feel like those assault rifles, they can just be used to cause mass violence, and for like hunting and other things and like protecting yourself, you wouldn't really need something that high caliber. Like, I can't really think of a reason to use that just besides mass destruction. And I feel like, you know, we need a license to drive a car. We need a license to make food for commercially. So like, why not have a license to have a gun?
Like, you know, these weapons are used in the military. Like, these weapons are used to kill. And so like, why should we give like high capacity weapons to normal everyday citizens? Like, why is that a thing?
After all of these discussions, we asked the students to step back and think about their futures. How will these policy debates influence them moving forward? Here's Elizabeth Sidler of Generation Citizen.
What is your greatest concern for your community, and what is your greatest source of hope? So we'll probably have time for a couple of responses. Your greatest concern, the thing you want to see changed in your community, and your greatest source of hope.
So my greatest concern for what's going on is I believe that we are so divided. I feel like some people are divided just because they're a certain party or a certain belief, and they don't even want to see eye to eye. They don't even want to be diplomatic and negotiable and work together on certain issues. As you can see, the debate, the first presidential debate, kind of represents what our country is going through right now. How we're just feeling so divided, we don't even want to listen to each other and hear what we have to say, and how we can work together on finding a peaceful common ground. So that is my biggest concern, but my biggest hope is people stepping up today, you know, fighting for racial rights, fighting for better rights. I feel like people have been protesting more than ever. I guess maybe because I'm old enough now, I can see it. But in my eye, I feel like people are using their voice more than ever, especially those of the younger generation. And I feel like that is the way that we are, you know, we're expressing ourselves more than ever. And I feel like that's a hope for our country of a greater change to come.
I think my biggest concern for my community, for this country actually, is prioritizing students and their point of views on things, because a lot of people don't do that. And we don't really look at like how this is going to affect them, because, you know, we will be taking over at one point. So like, why don't we prioritize them?
That's what I live for, is I want to change the world and make the world a better place for me and everyone else. And so I would say, if I feel that way, there has to be other young people that feel that way. And I feel young people get such a bad rap. Oh, kids are awful. Kids are awful. I hear that all the time. And I'm just like, well, there are some, you know, there's some bad ones out there, but I feel we have some pretty amazing people that hopefully will get our country and the world kind of shaped out and in a better place.
We'll leave you on those words from these young people. Special thanks to the participants from Oklahoma City, Duncan, Coweta, Stillwell, Pawnee, and Alva. They had some interesting perspectives that we all can learn from. For Oklahoma Engaged, I'm State Impact's Robbie Korth.
This story was produced by Robbie Korth and Kately Mills for Oklahoma Engaged, an election project of NPR member stations in Oklahoma. Special thanks to Elizabeth Sidler of Generation Citizen. To see how the students voted, check out the quiz below.